The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Scents are powerful, aren't they? I can remember the scent my mother wore when she got dressed up for a special date. A scent I knew meant Mom and Dad were going out to a party, flowery, full. Have you had a moment where a scent took you back to another time or place? It's what sometimes is called a body sense memory. Things locked away in our memory that are opened by a sight or a sound or a taste or a smell of hot asphalt right after a summer rain. Of that special meal that your grandma used to make. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. I remember coming into First Lutheran Church when I served there very early on Easter morning to get things ready for the youth breakfast, and I would approach the sanctuary through the narthex. If you've ever been there, it's a large space, and so I'd be walking towards the sanctuary through the narthex. And when I was about 10 or 15 feet from the open doors to the sanctuary, that's when the fragrance of the lilies would hit me like a wall. Flowery, cloying, surrounding me with its fragrance. And unfortunately, locking my sinuses right up. But that was the smell, the scent of Easter. The house was filled with the fragrance of the opened jar of ointment of nard, a pound poured out on Jesus' feet, wiped from them by Mary's hair. What did the perfume smell like? I got asked this by a colleague last week, and I found no good answer except earthy, woody, spicy, musty. Some of which makes sense because nard is made from a root that is found in the mountains of Nepal. But if nard was regularly used to anoint bodies for burial, I also wonder if it didn't smell like death to those present. If their body sense memory didn't go to that place because that's what the scent was associated with, especially since some of those present had recent experience with such. We are in the house of Lazarus, recently raised from the dead by Jesus. See the 11th chapter of John, whose body his sister Mary, along with her sibling Martha, would have anointed for burial, maybe with ointment from this same jar. Jesus, Lazarus, the disciples, Mary, and Martha have just shared a meal together. And as the eating has ended, Mary approaches the feet of Jesus. Remember this story when we gather again on Maundy Thursday around another shared table of Jesus and his disciples when he will approach them and their feet. Mary takes a pound, an extravagant amount. One might even say prodigal. Sound familiar? She takes a pound of this ointment of nard, something worth almost a year's wages, an extravagant cost, one might almost say prodigal, and she anoints Jesus' feet. And then she uses her hair to wipe the oil from them. The language used is the exact same as used for the action of Jesus wiping the feet of his disciples during Holy Week. And these two incidents are the only time that word is used in Scripture. John deliberately connects these two moments. Why does Mary anoint Jesus' feet? If the anointing is to declare him king or even God's chosen one, she would have anointed his head. That's how those things were done. Not his feet. Those dirty, unclean, stinky means of locomotion that only the humblest of servants would touch. Feet. Like those of the disciples that Jesus will kneel and wash on that Maundy Thursday at the final meal with them, like the humblest of servants, the humblest of acts. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. What's going on here? In this intimate setting around a shared meal with those who he loved around him, we see in Mary's action an example of the reciprocal love Jesus will call his disciples to show to everyone at the Last Supper. Come back on Maundy Thursday with this story ringing in your ears. It's a love that doesn't count the cost, like Judas did, that is extravagant. Prodigal, even, in loving God because that is how God loves us. Jesus in the Gospel of John says he has come that they may have life and have it abundantly. The prologue of John says that in the Word made flesh, that is Jesus, we receive grace upon grace. Our cup overflows with God's prodigal love and mercy, and we respond in kind to God. Sometimes there is value in giving God our best. After all, the Gospel of John reminds us that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. If we send our best to God, give off the top of our resources, ourselves, our talents, our time, our hearts will follow. Mike Reinhart asks in one of our chapters from his book that we are reading this Lent, asks us to assess how we spend our time. One of the things we value most in our society, because that will tell you where your heart is, what's really important to you. Are we extravagant with our resources and our love of God? Or do we react like Judas? It's too much. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. An extravagant, prodigal, visible, costly outpouring of love for the Lord, who means everything to Mary, who called her brother back from death. Mary, who sat at those very feet she now anoints to listen to Jesus, much to the annoyance of her sister Martha, who shows in her action of love to Jesus the same kind of love Jesus will in another week or so call his followers to have for one another, so that the whole world might know that they are his disciples. A love that comes from the abundance of grace, love, and mercy that we have experienced in our lives with God. A love that believes always that there is enough and more than enough for all. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. It is the smell of God's extravagant love for the world bearing fruit, blossoming in this woman who has received the outpouring of God's word in Jesus, experienced firsthand the power that he has to bring the dead to life, and who in anointing Jesus knows that not even death can defeat the will of God that he embodies. I wonder if from that day forward, Mary carried that scent with her. Like how wood smoke lingers in your clothes, or when you walk into a room and you know someone has been there by their fragrance that lingers. I wonder if just by entering a place, by living out who she is as a follower of Jesus, she fills where she is with the fragrance of God's abundant love for the world. Mary doesn't know what the next few weeks will bring, but she is confident that in Jesus, God is doing a new thing, something better than what came before. A new thing that is worth prodigal gifts on our part, a new thing that will mean life from death. Oh, that we would be like Mary and not like Judas. That we would trust in the abundance of God enough to show extravagant love for his son. That we would trust the abundance of God enough to show this extravagant love to one another. To break open the jar of our lives and pour ourselves out extravagantly. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. What would it be like for us to carry the smell of God's extravagant love into the world? That the scent of that love would go with us from this place into the rest of our lives. A wonderful fragrance of new life and hope that wafts into the workplaces and schools and homes that we enter, that would linger there long after we leave. What would it be like for us as a congregation to fill this city of Ely with the fragrance of that perfume of God's extravagant love in the world, such that when people entered this town, they would walk into a wall of fragrance and know something wonderful is happening here? Oh, Mary, inspire us with your boldness and faithfulness. Oh, Holy Spirit, come to us through your word. Fill us with the perfume of God's extravagant love and grace. Oh, Lord Jesus, do in us a new thing, that we might go into the world you so love, enough to pour out your very life on the cross, that we might be your hands and feet, bringing transforming grace upon grace to all whom we meet, filling the house of this world with your fragrance of love. Let it be so. Amen. I invite us to stand as we sing our hymn of the day.